I express my thanksgiving for you being here today and the privilege of being assembled with you. It's nice to see you. If you'll take your Bible and come with me back to the wisdom literature of Proverbs, we'll allow Solomon to introduce our study today. In Proverbs chapter 12, I'm reading verse 17. The wise man said, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit." The Bible describes different kinds of witnesses. A false witness is mentioned among the things the Lord hates in Proverbs 6:19. In Proverbs 14 and verse 5, he said, "A faithful witness will not lie." And so the Bible talks about a faithful witness. In Proverbs 14 and verse 25, he describes a true witness versus a deceitful witness. When he said, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." And then in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 28, he talks about an ungodly witness, scorneth judgment. And so you have false, faithful, true, deceitful, ungodly witnesses. I'm here today to talk to us for a few moments about the topic, bearing false witnesses. I reckon that false witnesses have been around as long as there have been men alive to bear witness. To bear false witness is to testify that which is contrary to the truth. A good example in the midst of resurrection teaching in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said in verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God." How would the apostles have been found false witnesses? He said, "Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom we raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." And so if it be true that there is no resurrection of the dead, then the apostles would have been false witnesses because they testified that God raised up Christ. That's a good definition of a false witness. One who testifies that which is contrary to the truth, a lie. Let me share with you some examples of bearing false witness as set forth in this book. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, we read about an individual by the name of Naboth. Remember him? The Jezreelite. He was a man who was in possession of a vineyard, which was in Jezreel. And the Bible says, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab spake unto Naboth, and if you know anything about Ahab, he was one of the wickedest men to ever roam the earth, king of Israel. He said to this Jezreelite, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money." So this king wants Naboth's vineyard for a garden spot, since it's close to his palace. Naboth didn't want to sell it, didn't want to trade it, because it was the inheritance of his fathers. Verse 3, "The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, "I'll not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And here's this grown man pouting. He laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, comes on the scene, asking, "Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" He said, "Because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, 'Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I'll not give thee my vineyard.' Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, 'Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And here's the efforts of this wicked woman by which she secures the vineyard for Ahab. She commits forgery. Verse 8, she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And then she employs men to bear false witness. Verse 10 says, set two men, sons of Belial. You know, sons of Belial were wicked, deceitful men. Set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him. What kind of witness are they going to bear? False witness. They're going to say, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Never happened. But they're going to say that he did. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Imagine that. Shows how wicked she was. The men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Imagine being Naboth. Put yourself in his place. They carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. So add to forgery and false witness, murder. In verse 14. And when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, she said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And of course, Ahab went, took possession of it, and then he meets up with Elijah. There's an example of bearing false witness. Been going on for a long time. No telling how many people have taken possession of things down through the ages. And folks have been put to death because of men and women bearing false witness. I'll tell you another example of bearing false witness. It's one of the sins that crucified Christ. In the Psalms, we have some statements that have their complete fulfillment in Jesus. A lot of these are messianic. And we have an element of that in Psalm 27 and verse 12 when the psalmist said, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. And again in Psalm 35 and verse 11 is recorded, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Such would be true of Jesus when in Matthew 26 and verse 59 we read, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, what they say, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? Matthew 26, 59-62. As well in the book of Mark chapter 14, 55-61, it talks about many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Verse 56. And again in verse 59, neither so did their witness agree together. And so when Christ was being convicted and sentenced to crucifixion, false witnesses were involved. Another episode of men bearing false witness is in the book of Acts in the 6th chapter. You remember in verse 9, reading about Stephen? There were those who were disputing with him. They weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. What did they do? When they couldn't answer his arguments, they attacked him personally. That's what oftentimes happens. When a person can't handle the truth, they take it out on the messenger. They suborn men which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Watch verse 13. And set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And as a result of false witnesses, we read in Acts 7 and in verse 58, where cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Highly remarkable what he did, isn't it? "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. So I just mentioned that to show that bearing false witness took place in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and I expect it even occurs today, don't you? What's the Bible had to say about bearing false witness? It has a lot to say about it. It came to my attention that false witness is a spiritual shout not. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, when the Ten Commandments were delivered to the nation of Israel, the Lord said in verse 16, "Thou shalt not," what? "Bear false witness against thy neighbor." So you might just underscore the fact that bearing false witness is a shout not. And as mentioned in our Bible class, God says what he means and means what he says. If God says shout not, that means shout not. If you don't think so, talk to Adam and Eve. For in Genesis 2, 16, 17, God said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Did God mean what he say? Ask Adam and Eve if you think differently. For in chapter 3, they took, they ate, and they died that day, as God said they would, and that they were delivered out of the garden, discharged, driven. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. That shows how God feels about those who cross the not line. In Exodus 23 and verse 1, it is recorded, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." You know, there are a lot of false reports that are circulated today. I'd do well to reflect upon this statement from the law. "Thou shalt not raise a false report." Exodus 23 and verse 1. That'd be a good statement. I think if I was in the reporting business, I'd have that displayed somewhere for all reporters to see. "Thou shalt not raise a false report." What about you? When you come to the book of Deuteronomy, which is a repetition of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 20, it is said, "Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor." You see, there is a new generation on the scene. And there may have been some that were alive who were there when it was first given in Exodus 20. But those who weren't, who hadn't heard it, need to hear it. And those who were need to be reminded of it, right? When I read the Ten Commandments, I'm reminded of what one of our great presidents once said. Something to the effect that imagine what the Ten Commandments would look like if they'd be run through Congress. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and in verse 28, in connection with this being a shout not, the Bible says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Might underscore not. Used two times in that verse. Remember in our reading, Matthew 19, rich young ruler asked what to do to have eternal life, the law that was in operation at the time the Lord referred him to. And in that he said, thou shalt not bear false witness. And he's able to say, all these things have I kept from my youth up. I wonder how many young people today could say that. I've not been guilty of bearing false witness. How many wealthy people could say that? How many powerful people, rulers, in positions of prominence could say, I've not done that? We need more wealthy people, more prominent people, more young people who can say, as this young man, when the Lord told him to keep the law and that included not bearing false witness, he said, I've not done that, in essence. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Pretty good statement, isn't it? In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 9, the apostle talked about loving another, fulfilling the law, and said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And he said, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's why loving one's neighbor as self is one of the great commandments in the law. Because everything proceeds out of that. It's kind of like the hub, and then you got the spokes. What is it that stems from loving your neighbor? Well, one thing is you won't bear false witness against him. And so it shows a lack of love toward one's neighbor when you would bear false witness against him. But all those passages have a common theme, and that is, bearing false witness is a shout not. So if you ever get to thinking about doing it, remember what the Lord said about it. But also I learned from my study of bearing false witness that when a person bears false witness, it will return upon his own head. There's a principle that is set forth in the book of Obadiah, one of the minor prophets. Not that he's less important than the others, but his message takes up a little less space than some of the others. When you come to the pages of Obadiah, you notice that he deals with God's judgment on Edom, their sin of pride, and how it shows God's displeasure of those who would rejoice in the calamity of others. In Obadiah, in verse 15, he said, the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. Here's the principle I'm after. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Okay. I'm making application of that to bearing false witness. I'm using that same language. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Because the law taught that the consequences that would come as a result of a person bearing false witness would return to the originator. If you were the originator of the false witness, then whatever consequence would it intended from that would be returned on your own head. I'll give you a little sampling of that. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 16, listen to this. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, listen to this, then shall ye do unto him, that's the false witness, as he had thought to have done unto his brother. What is that? That's that application of the principle in Obadiah 15. Return upon your own head. And by that, he said, verse 19, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And so if the consequence of your bearing false witness would mean this man's going to be put to death upon your false testimony, and it be found that you're bearing false witness, then you're going to be put to death. See? And so the consequences return to the originator. That's kind of like Haman, remember, who was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. In the book of Esther, chapter 7, and verse 10. And so don't allow yourself to be hung upon the gallows of your false witness. But as I explored the teaching of this book with reference to bearing false witness, I came across several things in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs reveals God hates this kind of thing. Shows his attitude about it. Proverbs 6:19, listen. He mentions some things the Lord hates. He says, yea, are an abomination unto him. And among this list, a false witness that speaketh lies. God hates it. It's an abomination. That is, it's grossly disgusting to him. This is a disgusting thing to think of, men bearing false witness against their neighbor. I tell you something else I learned from the book of Proverbs about it. And that is, a false witness utters lies. It's associated with lying. Proverbs 14:5. Listen. A faithful witness will not lie. You know, if you're called to testify, you ought to have that imprinted on your mind in such a way that it'll never be lost. A faithful witness will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies. How can you tell the difference between a faithful or a false witness and the accuracy of their testimony? False witness lies. So I learned that a false witness utters lies. And so everything the Bible says about lying applies to bearing false witness. You can study long about lying. That'll put you in the camp of the devil. He said, you're of your father the devil. The Lord did. He's the father of lies. He told the first lie back in the garden, Genesis 3. God said, ye shall surely die. He said, ye shall not surely die. How'd you like to be associated with the devil? There's a place for folks like that. As the Lord sentenced in Matthew 25, the wicked, to a place, he said, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's described as everlasting punishment. In the book of Revelation 21 and in verse 8, remember what John said about all liars? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so a false witness, God hates, a false witness utters lies. Something else from the book of Proverbs. A false witness shall not be unpunished. Look at chapter 19, verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. No escape for those who bear false witness. No escaping what? Punishment. They're going to be punished. Not a matter of If, but when. To say a false witness shall not be unpunished is equivalent to saying a false witness shall be punished. And then down at verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished. If it's not true once, second time ought to get it. I'll tell you something else he says. A false witness shall perish. Proverbs 21, verse 28. A false witness shall perish. Think about that. Perish. Remember the Lord said in the book of Luke 13, 3 and 5, except thou repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'll tell you something else that is very powerful. It's in the book of Proverbs 25. That is, I learned that a false witness is a mall. Not a shopping mall, M-A-L-L, but a M-A-U-L, a mall, a tool. Has a heavy head and a handle. You might use a mall to drive a wedge to split the toughest of woods. You might use a mall to crush concrete. You know, in the book of Proverbs 25 and verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword and a sharp arrow. You know, when someone bears false witness against you, it's as if you've been struck by a heavy weapon. You know, any one of those would be bad enough, wouldn't it? To be hit by a maul, or cut with a sword, or pierced by a sharp arrow. But he says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. We use that word mauled in the context of a person that's been attacked, maybe a savage attack. He's mauled by a lion, torn in pieces. That's what they're doing when they're bearing false witness against you. That's what you do if you bear false witness against somebody. You're tearing them in pieces. They've been mauled, crushed. Terrible stuff. That's what the book of Proverbs reveals about it. Those who bear false witness are a maul. They shall perish. They shall not be unpunished. They utter lies. God hates that, and I ought to as well. But also, I learned from this book that bearing false witness defiles a man. In Matthew 15, the Lord entered in among some who thought that if you ate with unclean hands, you're defiled. The Lord taught that it's not that that goes in, but what comes out that defiles a man. He said in Matthew 15, 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, listen, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, cause you to be unclean. Like Daniel, remember? Daniel 1, 8, when he purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself. How about in light of that, us developing some resolve and determination that we're not going to do anything that would cause us to be unclean or defiled. And that means I'm never at any time going to bear false witness. I'm going to speak the truth. A faithful witness will do that at all times, at all cost. And then finally, when you think about bearing false witness, I came to understand that those who bear false witness have a witness against themselves. You know who that is? The Lord. Several passages surfaced. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. And so those who would bear false witness, who would be false swearers, have a witness against them. And that's the Lord himself. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 23, it said, because they have committed villainy in Israel. Any villainy committed today? Any villains? Were they all back in Israel's day? What did they commit when they committed villainy? Committed adultery with their neighbor's wives? Spoken lying words? He said, in my name, which I have not commanded them. He said, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. You know, it was said, maybe you've not heard it, that the Lord is the silent listener to every conversation. He said, even I know and am a witness. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 5. They said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. The Lord be what? A true and faithful witness. Paul recognized God as witness when he wrote the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 5, he recounted his work among them and said, for neither any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. He said, God is witness. God will testify to that. He knows. Remember Abel, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God's witness. He testified that Abel was righteous about of us today. Would he testify of that? Or would he testify, you've been bearing false witness. I know the true and faithful witness. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, listen, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. No matter how great the witness of men might be, God's witness trumps all human witnesses. In Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the what? Faithful witness. We read about faithful witnesses. Christ is described as a faithful witness, the faithful witness. And then finally, in chapter 3 and verse 14, when messages came to the seven churches of Asia, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, listen how the letter begins. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Oh, there may be times where people swear falsely, and they may speak lies, but there's coming a time when they're going to meet up with the true and faithful witness. Those who bear false witness have a witness against themselves, and that's the Lord. Testimony is a powerful thing. It's a matter of life and death, right and wrong. It was in the day of Naboth, Stephen, the Lord, and is today. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord talked about some witnesses he has, his apostles. He said in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, under the uttermost part of the earth. We have their testimony recorded in this book. Like Peter, Acts 2, when he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made Lord and Christ. He said, Acts 2:32, we all are witnesses, and they told the truth. And it's up to us to receive and to accept their testimony. If their testimony be true, then that which is taught and preached and said by others must be false. They would differ from it. And if what men today say be true that differs from their testimony, then the apostles must be false testifiers. They must be false swearers. They must be false witnesses. So that's really what it comes down to. Either they spoke the truth or they didn't. And we need to be like those of whom Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians, who received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And when you receive their testimony as the word of God, you recognize it to be the truth. For Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." John 17:17. Would you read and accept the testimony of these true witnesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners? And to accept that in such a way as to obey it, as Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, Hebrews 5:9. They said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 2:38. That's offered us today. They gladly received his word and were baptized. Will you do that? Will you? All things are ready. We plead with you to come. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away, you've not been faithful, maybe you've been involved in the kind of thing we're talking about today, you need to quit it. You need to receive forgiveness of it. As Simon was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven." Won't you come while we stand and sing the song?